There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, my colleague, Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author most recently of the new book, Noble State. And we will speak of the noble state of constitutional monarchy later on, the King Charles Report. But we begin now with the meeting in Seoul, South Korea, much looked for over many months between the President of the United States and the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping. The results are anticlimactic. We have an agreement between the two to postpone any confrontation, sizable confrontation, for a year. We also have strange goings on in that what was not talked about, given the contention between these two states. My understanding, having not touched the readout but taking summaries, is that Taiwan was not spoken of, nor the Philippines and the provocations in the South China Sea, nor other threats and activities and brutality by the People's Republic of China, we can presume at the direction of the Chinese Communist Party. So this comes out to be, we'll postpone whatever we were going to do to each other for a year. The president then agreed that the uniform tariffs on China would not be onerous, and China had already declared that the withholding of rare earths would not happen for a year. Therefore, what did we learn? We learned a lot. Gregory, your presentation of Xi Jinping these many months has been that his failures reached a point where the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, the collective leadership, had to make a move that they were reluctant to make, but they'd already agreed upon allowing him to have a third term, and that proved to be one term too many. The Chinese economy is shattered. There's no other way to put it. There is no way out. They must take a Japanification. I don't know how long that could last. It could last a decade. It could last two decades. They built their hopes on intellectual property they could steal and the export-only model. And then they allowed municipalities to build cities that nobody wants to live in. And they're rotting. The real estate hole has not been answered, cannot be answered by any means that I know is legitimate. The export-only model that they used to get where they are today has failed. There is resistance in all sectors, not just the United States. The consumers in China refuse to come anywhere close to what is necessary to balance their economy. They keep their money in their pocket or in gold or get it out of the country. Xi Jinping is in disgrace. And what we saw was a man who looked, well, Gregory, I have to say, he often looks sleepy to me. How did he look to you?
Well, he did look sleepy. I think this is a misconception. I think he is a man who's deeply troubled. He has now reached the conclusion, I believe, that he is lucky this far to have escaped with his life. And he thinks that there might be the slimmest of chances that he could gradually rebuild a power base and return to power. But right now, we've got this standoff situation where none of the parties or claimants to power, the military, the People's Liberation Army, now literally under General Zhang Yuxia, the reformist and elders in the party proper who want to return to collective governments, and the Xi camp, what they all want is for there to be an appearance of calm and normal order, so that there will be at some stage, there would be at some stage, a legitimate so-called and peaceful transfer of power. That really is not going to help. And the longer that Xi Jinping is seen by the public internationally and domestically as one and the same with the party, means that the party will go down when she goes down, if to all intents. And maybe the party will hang on a bit longer after she goes, but Probably not. But right now, Xi cannot make decisions. He has lost control of the military. And what's more, it's been exposed that he had built up a separate army, which was going to be literally answerable only to him and to a couple of the purged members of the Central Military Commission, who are now disgraced and literally out of office and probably already dead. So this private military force, which was going to be Xi's savior, which was going to guarantee him control of Zhongnanhai, the party headquarters and the party, that's gone. So he's lost all of the remnants of his military support. He has been seen throughout the country as the leader of doom. In fact, he brought the economy to this degraded state, a standstill, mass starvation, homelessness, corruption being exposed widely, and the like. So the question is, will he attempt to do something desperate, at which stage the military under Zhang Yuxia will step in and just finish that? Which none of them want to do this. They want this to be handled to look as though it's a peaceful and orderly transition of power. But we remember at the failing days of Mao's leadership when you had the defense minister Lin Bao trying to usurp his former colleague Mao, and then tried to flee to Moscow, and his aircraft was then shot down. So that was a very violent thing. And we're getting to that point right now. Even to the point where the Russians are once again in taking sides in this. At the Fourth Party plenum, which took place October 20th to 23, the Russians came in and said, we know that Xi Jinping is in failing health and will almost certainly have to retire on health grounds. That was supporting, if you like, the reformists and the old party elders, who were trying to give that as the legitimate excuse for overthrowing Xi. So we now have that break between Moscow and Xi. So that's already happened. We know that Xi cannot make decisions. He wasn't supposed to go even to the APEC summit, but when they basically allowed him to go, they had to reinstate all of the arrangements for the APEC summit, which the Communist Party had cancelled only weeks before. So basically, Xi was given nothing to say. He couldn't promise anything. He did, if you like, make that compromise on the rare earths and played right into Trump's hands. Trump himself had been building up the case that the West could get its own rare earths and process them, which is a very toxic thing, industrial project to attempt. And he first got the Australians to come and say, we'll give you all the rare earths you need. Then he got the Burmese, Myanmar and Thailand to say the same thing at the ASEAN summit just before the APEC summit. He got the Japanese and the Koreans before the APEC summit to commit to supporting the US on processing rare earths for the global industry. So by the time he got to meeting with Xi Jinping, Xi Jinping had run out of options. He didn't have even the leverage of the rare earth provision to give the party or himself negotiating room with the West. So President Trump played that quite masterfully, and the Australians must be feeling pretty grim now that they thought they'd done a big deal in providing rare earths to the United States, only to see that promise was merely a bargaining chip to threaten the Chinese with. So it's a very interesting situation. The power struggle within Beijing is nowhere near finished. Nobody wants to face that because everybody wants to keep thinking money from China will keep flowing. And even the biggest Australian mining ore supplier, which is the biggest resource supplier in the world, BHP, was told in the past week or so that it had to now expect to be paid in yuan instead of in dollars for their exports of iron ore from Australia. And BHP is not going to accept that because there's nothing they can do with yuan anyway. So we're now seeing the CCP and Xi losing all of their negotiating power, and that means that it's going to become very unstable, unpredictable, in fact, over the near-term future.
Gregory, about the rarest threat, you've presented over the last weeks that was a desperation play, because for a moment it tied up the expectations by the U.S. and its allies about the high-end economy that we're all running. That went away as if it didn't matter to them, and it didn't wait for Seoul. I believe Bessent made the deal before Seoul, so it was pre-announced, as if they were in total retreat. Does that promise that after Xi, there'll be cooperation from whoever is the leadership on developing economies in parallel and no longer being parasites, which is what they've been under Xi?
Yes, I think so. I think it's really going to depend on who takes power. Zhang Yixia, if he assumes physical, you know, real power or political power as well as military power, he would become the leader of a gunpowder state. In other words, a state which has a lot of military capability but no economic or social strength to back it up. Mm-hmm. And he could continue to take a strong line, but I don't think that would last very long either. The PRC doesn't have anything left to offer the global economy. The global economy itself is in poor shape, and a lot of the India and Southeast Asian nations are prepared to step in on a lot of the consumer items and cell phone manufacturing and the like. But the bottom line is that the U.S. thinks that it can redevelop its high-end technologies, chip industries and the like, to the point where it's no longer dependent upon China, whether it's communist China or post-communist China. So I say the future outlook for mainland China is grim.
Yeah.
But no matter which way you look at it, I don't think they have bargaining chips other than to threaten nearby countries. And even that threat is now literally a joke, because they can't really credibly attack across the Taiwan Straits other than by nuking it out of existence, which doesn't serve them any purpose either. So the question then becomes, how do you deal with a totally chaotic post-communist China with lots of nuclear weapons running around, as we saw with the collapse of the Soviet Union? Now, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, we did see a huge traffic in illegally acquired nuclear warheads and nuclear weapons, and yet we still haven't seen a major war. We've seen a lot of instability, we've seen threats and the like, but we haven't seen a war. Now, I think the same would apply to China. If China starts to break down and breaks into a warlordist approach, the question is, will those nuclear weapons still be viable? Will they be trafficked on the international market? Or will some warlords attempt to gain power by threatening to use these warheads? I think the latter is that they'll try to bargain with nuclear weapons. That's not going to go very far either, because nuclear weapons really don't win wars. They just provide someone with the ability to have a big bang. And Japan discovered this when in 1941, when they invaded Pearl Harbor. They had the big bang there and destroyed a lot of U.S. infrastructure. But once they did that, they realized, as Yamamoto promised them they would, that was their death warrant, because they merely triggered the rise of the vast U.S. resource base, which had much more industrial and resource depth than any of its competitors.
The King Charles Report is next. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.